Welcome to the Bow Hunter Podcast. All bow hunting, all the time. Now, here's your host, editor Christian Berg.
All right, welcome back to the Bow Hunter Podcast. We are all bow hunting all the time. Today, I've got equipment editor John Silks on the line with me. John, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Thanks for having me, Christian.
Well, I should thank you because you're the one who set up this week's show, and I'm excited about our guest, aren't you?
I am very excited about this guest.
Absolutely, because he's one of the legends of the outdoors, I would say. I hope I didn't make him blush in saying that, but he's definitely one of the most recognizable faces and names in the hunting world and an extremely avid bow hunter. And I'm excited to welcome Real Trees' David Blanton to the Bow Hunter Podcast. David, thank you so much.
Christian, thank you. John, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Yeah, I'd say your introduction of me is a little bit too highfalutin for me, I'd say, but thank you.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, John?
That goes along with what I know about you, David, which is with all that you've had in your life and everything, you're one of the most genuine people I've ever met in my life. So that's genuine and humble people I've ever known. So,
well, thank you, John. I'm just blessed by God above to do what I do for a living. I'm not sure why he chose me to be in this position. But I'm so thankful and I'm blessed by him. You know, it's not about anything I've done. I think it's more about he has laid his hand upon me and blessed me. So thank you.
Well, I think anybody who gets to spend time hunting and enjoying creation, you know, and getting paid for it at the same time is definitely a blessed person. And so I think there's three blessed people really on the podcast today. But with that, David, I want to kick it back to you because it's funny, right before we started the show, I said, what's your title? And you were like, I don't really know these days. I'm just kind of a Realtree brand ambassador, but you have had your hand and your name involved with the Realtree brand for quite a long time now. And I'll let you tell me how many years it's been, because I don't know for sure. But you continue to be very active and you've got a lot of different projects kind of going these days, don't you?
Yeah. You know, Christian, I went to work for Bill Jordan in 1990. So I've been there 34 years. And it's so cool to look back and see how I was involved in the creation and the beginning of our video series. Even, you know, we did one video before Monster Bucks came out, and it was called Whitetails in the Wild. It was the very first one we did in 91, I believe. 91. And then we started Monster Bucks right after that. But so to watch the entire hunting video, and then it evolved into the DVD format, to watch that whole part of our industry be conceived and grow is amazing. And of course, now it's kind of run its course. People don't buy, they just simply don't buy DVDs any longer of any genre of anything. And so to watch that was incredible. Then to have Bill Jordan trust me to run the TV and video department for a lot of years as we came up with our first TV effort in Realtree Outdoors, which we started in 1993 on the Nashville Network, or TNN, as a lot of people may remember. That's back before there were any hunting channels, or certainly there was no internet or YouTube, but TNN was really about the only place to launch a nationwide TV show. And so we were fortunate enough to get on there. After a few years of trying, we finally did in 93, and But just to watch the whole industry grow as it has been amazing.
Yeah, so, really. Yeah. Go ahead,
David. Did you apply to a job? Did you walk in and have an interview with him, or were you guys old buddies? Like, how did the whole thing start?
Well, that's a very good question, John, and it's a question I get asked a lot. So I had relocated back to LaGrange, Georgia, which is where I still live to this day. In 87, I, along with a good friend of mine, we opened up a outdoor store, just a small town outdoor store, hunting and fishing, called LaGrange Outdoors. And he was the fishing end of the business. He was a part-time guide out on the lake here at West Point Reservoir. And I was the hunting end of the business just because I knew a little bit about bows and setting up bows. And in 88, he and I were approached by the local TV cable access company here in town. It was not a TV station. It was just a cable access. They asked us if we'd be interested in providing to them to air every week a 10 to 15 minute outdoor report and kind of video it. So we did, with just a handheld VHS camcorder. And we had so much fun doing that we decided, you know what, this is really fun. Let's do this and buy a little better camera and let's do a TV show. Let's try that and see what happens. And so we actually got on with the Sunday morning NBC affiliate in Columbus, Georgia, which is where Bill Jordan is from and where he lives and where Realtree is located. So Sunday morning, we started airing our TV show on the NBC affiliate in Columbus. And I'll never forget about that time, Bill had come out with Realtree in 86. So in 87, it was just starting to hit the dealers. And we were one of the first dealers that started selling Realtree in our store. And we're only 50 miles from Columbus. And one of his salesmen from the office called on us, and we started selling Realtree in the store. And then Bill and I met through a mutual friend of mine that knew Bill, was actually in the hunting club with Bill way back in the day. So I met Bill, but then we started our little local show in Columbus, and Bill tuned in the TV one Sunday morning and saw our show, and he called me up and we just started having a conversation. And Bill being a successful entrepreneur that he is, he's always had a vision of where he wanted to go and how he wanted to get there. And the one thing Bill had already decided in 89 by this time was that at some point Realtree needed a national hunting show on TV. And he assumed that I knew a lot about TV production. I did not, but I knew a little bit. And he asked me, he says, "Hey, won't you come to work for Realtree and let's see if we can't start a TV show?" And I was all in. I didn't even give it a whole lot of thought. It was just like, wow, that sounds great. Let's do it. So I literally sold my end of the store, interest in the store, to my friend, and I went to work for Bill. And we had no idea where we were. We knew where we wanted to go, but we didn't know how to get there. And so that's kind of how I met Bill, and we hit it off. The first time Bill and I ever met, we were overlooking a large kudzu field, which is a wild vine. It's an invasive species that was brought over here for erosion control from Asia, I think. But the deer love it. It's high in protein. And in the South, you probably heard people talk about kudzu, but in the summertime, it just explodes, and deer love it. And so I met Bill. We were overlooking a large kudzu field one August evening, watching velvet bucks come out. My friend had taken me down there, and that's where I actually met Bill that afternoon. We just hit it off, and you know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a very big deal.
To meet someone and feel comfortable with them and know you kind of have a, you kind of just click together. And Bill and I did, and we both realized it. And then I think that's why he felt comfortable asking me to come to work for Realtree. And so that's kind of the beginning of our relationship.
So what was Realtree at that time? Was it like 5 people, 10 people, 30 people?
You know, back in 90, when I went to work for Bill, I would say there's probably 15, 20 people. You know, he had a little marketing department he had put together, 3 or 4 people. He had a sales, because back then Bill owned his own, owned a line of apparel, Spartan.
Oh, yeah. Spartan.
That, I remember that. That was Bill's original line. And then he had, you know, some clerical people in the office and some warehouse people, because we were shipping out orders back then. Mm-hmm. We probably had 15 people back then, but it was a tough road to hoe. It was tough back then. Matter of fact, Bill told me one time, he said, you know, if Realtree is ever going to make it, we needed a national presence, a branding effort. And he felt like the best way to do that was through a TV show. And so that's kind of where we started. And now TNN had started their block of outdoor shows probably around 1990, I guess. Jackie Bushman had Buckmasters on there, and we were sponsoring Jackie, as we still do today. But when we approached TNN about starting a show on there, you know, we were told that they weren't ready for another hunting show. They weren't sure that hunting shows were actually going to make it on their network. They didn't know how the public was going to respond to them or embrace them. And so it was actually 3 years before we actually got the green light. Well, it was 2 years before we got the green light to start producing a show, and it was 3 years from the time I went to work to where Realtree Outdoors first started airing.
Well, David, and I tell you what,
in terms of the monster bucks, was that after all that?
No. So when I went to work for Bill, the first year we did a deer video, as I mentioned, called Whitetails in the Wild. It was, I think, 13 or 15 hunts. I think the average size of the buck killed on it may have been 135. We'd gone to Texas, and we just, you know, nobody had videos back then. Will Primos had just started the Truth series back then. And we started Whitetails in the Wild. The Juries had just started their video series way back then. And then we got the news from TNN that they weren't ready for another hunting show. So I thought, maybe, shoot, I may be done. My job may be over with, you know, before it ever began. And Bill said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to start producing deer hunting videos. So the following year in 1991, I believe, we started Monster Bucks. That was the beginning of, none of us knew what Monster Bucks was going to end up being like. It was amazing how successful that has been through the years. But so all that started as we were ramping up and gearing up, buying better equipment here and there, get ready for TV, national broadcast TV. While we were, I guess, biding our time, we just started producing and pushing and marketing and selling our Monster Buck videos.
Well, I'll tell you what, David, listening to you tell that story made me think of a saying that I've used a lot, that I had heard at a training, and how you got that job with Realtree. The saying is something along the lines of, if somebody ever offers you a really good opportunity, say yes, and then figure it out later. And that's kind of how you did it. And look, it worked. You guys put out your first video, you said, in 1991, which was the year I graduated high school. When I was in college, you guys got your first show on TNN, and you look at how big and how dominant Realtree ultimately became and what a force it had been and continues to be in the hunting world. And that is absolutely amazing. And of course, like you said, Bill, kind of genius, because a hunting show gathers a lot of eyeballs, and that was probably one of the greatest marketing tools he ever could have done, because any hunter will stop whatever they're doing to look at a big buck, right? And so he had those big bucks, and with your help and your team, right, your camera people and your other hunters, you guys started to kill a lot of big bucks wearing Realtree camouflage, and that just proved to be a dynamite combination, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And, you know, as a matter of fact, going back, as great as Bill's vision was to begin TV and videos, I think the first and greatest effort that he ever put forth was even before that, even before I went to work for Bill. Bill knew the value back then of outdoor hunting magazines and the writers, the outdoor writers. So Bill had, he gained permission to hunt on a really large chunk of land here, and he actually now owns part of it. But, and he would bring in the top outdoor writers from all over the country to come down and bow hunt or gun hunt deer or turkey hunt in the spring. Because Bill knew that back then, an outdoor writer and the old Hall of Famers, way back in the day, he would invite them to come in, pick up their expenses, fly them in for 2 or 3 days, have them hunt. If they were successful, they would write an article for numerous national publications. And then they would take pictures of someone, them, or somebody holding a big deer or a turkey, and they would have that picture, you know, accompany the article in the magazine. So that was Bill's first big effort that he put forth to promote Realtree, and that was even before I went to work there. And that was what really set Bill and Realtree apart. In the early days was Bill's bringing folks in, showing them a really good hunt. And that, you know, Bill was a mastermind to do that, because nobody did that back then. Now people go, yeah, but everybody does that. Well, not back then, they didn't. Bill Jordan, he kind of came up with that on his own, and it proved to be really the stepping stone that really launched Realtree into another level.
Well, we would have been a lot more important back then, John.
Yeah. Didn't you guys also, instead of like basically, like you said, he used to have Spartan and everything, but I think he and, you know, the team there, you decided on licensing was better avenue forward, which turned out to be also brilliant.
Yes, that started really early too. In addition to Bill having Spartan, Bill knew that one of the most important things he could do was to approach the big clothing companies back in the day, and that would have been Walls and 10X, really. I mean, that was really the two powerhouses when it came to hunting clothes, was Walls and 10X. And he worked out a deal with them to license Realtree for them to put it on their clothes. And they saw what Bill was doing in some major retailers. And that was the kind of the birth of the entire licensing program. And so when the licensing really took off, Bill fairly soon after that realized that, hey, you know, this business model works really, really well if I don't have to pay for the production of clothes, the manufacture of clothes. I don't have to carry a very large inventory of clothes. If I can just license out the patterns. So it gradually began transforming Realtree into a licensing company, which is where we are today, which we work with thousands and thousands of companies now that use the Realtree pattern, not only on soft goods, which is clothing and boots and things like that, but also hard goods like four-wheelers and guns and bows and gun cases and vacuum cleaners and all kinds of things.
Well, you know, when you think about it, so much has changed, David, but so much is the same. And so what's changed, right? I mean, even think about us. We're a couple of old writers, John and I, but we do podcasting now. That's a new way to reach people. And you don't do as much of the traditional TV as Realtree once did. But I think you mentioned to me, you know, again, before we started the show, you do a lot of things for social media now, which of course didn't exist back in the day, and as well as probably a bunch of direct to digital type video projects that'll go on your website or your streaming platform or whatever it is. But it still kind of serves the same purpose. You know, lots has changed, but a lot hasn't, because Realtree is still producing patterns, and these videos are still a great way to keep that Realtree name out there. And I want to give you an opportunity to do two things, is to tell me a little bit about your latest media ventures, and then also to touch on the latest pattern from Realtree, because you guys just launched back in January, the APX pattern, which is your new sort of high tech do it all camouflage pattern for bow hunters all across America. So tell us a little bit about that and a little bit about, you know, the media projects you're doing now.
Well, as you mentioned, Christian, one of the things that our world is changed into is social media. And I guess a form of that, and I don't even know if I'm using the right terminology here, just because I'm not up to speed on it, but like streaming or YouTube, you know, we developed our own app called Realtree 365, which houses a lot of our digital platforms, like our a lot of our short features. Not live, but semi-live. Like for example, in the spring, we have a series we call Spring Thunder, and we, starting in February, we'll start airing turkey hunts, you know, 3 or 4 days after they've been shot in the field. They get edited fairly quickly and put up on the Spring Thunder platform, whether it's on our app 365 or on our YouTube channel. So, you know, that's where the so many people watch. They get their fix on hunting now is on YouTube, which is, I guess you'd call that just internet. And of course, that wasn't even a thing when we started, but it's a thing now. And there's so many eyeballs. The barriers to entry are basically nothing compared to what they used to be. Anybody can go on there. And so we do a lot of that. We still have traditional TV. We still do Real True Outdoors on Outdoor Channel. And I think we always will do that. But now it's more about, you know, just finding so many ways to get our content out in front of eyeballs. And so, yes, there's so many different ways. It's a new world out there. And I don't understand it all like most people do. I'm a little beyond my age, kind of limits me into understanding all that. But I know that's a great way to get eyeballs, get in front of eyeballs is that way for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, David. And second part of that question was your new pattern, Realtree APX.
Oh, yeah, the Realtree APX. So Realtree Edge was our flagship pattern for the last seven or 8 years. And about every 6 to 8 years, Bill has always prided himself with coming out with the newest, latest and greatest Realtree pattern. And now we have, you know, we have patterns for duck hunting, turkey hunting, and deer hunting, a lot of different, you know, Western pattern, things like that over the years. So Bill started, we just introduced APX in January at SHOT Show in Las Vegas. But I bet you Bill worked on APX, no kidding, probably 3 to 4 years with the people back at the office, that the graphic designers. Bill still is the camo creator for Realtree. He still is to this day, and he always will be. He knows what he wants in a pattern. So he started on APX. Even while Edge was going strong, Bill was already improving Edge, and the product, the result of that is APX, which has a combination of bark, open areas in the pattern, and also the traditional stick and limb leaves, but he combined it all with shaded parts. It's an amazing pattern that it's not too bright and it's not too dark. So what I mean by that is it's not too bright. So at daylight and dusk on a cloudy, rainy day, it's not going to shine like new money. But also it's not too dark, so at a distance it's not going to blob up, and a hunter's not going to look like just a big black ball. So it has so many different elements to it, from the openness, the bark, the shade across in different parts, the stick and limbs and leaves. It's an amazing pattern, and we have been so encouraged by the success that APX saw immediately right out of the gate at SHOT Show. It was incredible, really, how retailers and companies in the industry, they were like, wow, that is an amazing pattern. And they would come by the booth, and it's just been so refreshing. And it's been amazing to watch APX just take off the way it has.
Well, that's spectacular. And, you know, I want to shift in to some bow hunting, John, and I want to throw it to you to get us started with that. So while I'm paying a bill here, John, you get your next question organized. And while John's doing that, I want to remind everybody that the Bow Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Lancaster Archery Supply. For all your bow hunting needs, visit LancasterArchery.com. They've got the gear, they've got the knowledge, and they've got the passion. And I bet you they even have a bunch of stuff finished in Realtree camo. And with that, John, I'm kicking it back over to you.
All right. Thanks, Christian. So, David, one of the things that whenever I was getting ready to do this podcast is I went to my boys who are all, you know, big into bow hunting, and and ask them, you know, what kind of questions they, you know, would want to hear from you. But my one son, you know, he quickly reminded me, he said, "Hey, do you remember that time that I met David?" And I said, "I'll never forget that time. That's one of the reasons that I think so much of David." And that's we were at an ATA show. This is a long time ago now. And, you know, my son had seen you on TV or, you know, videos. And so when you spent, I don't know, 30 minutes talking to him, very focused on him and talking about hunting and just about bows and things, I'm telling you, that made an impression on him and me that has never gone away. And so his question was, David, whenever you, you know, you're out there on a hunt and it's just, it's a slow hunt, things aren't really happening. What's your favorite thing about hunting in those situations? Do you have things that you like to do, or is it all about the camaraderie at that point? I mean, obviously camaraderie is the thing anyway, but he's just wondering, like, what do you do when it's slow other than just hunt hard?
Well, that's a great question, John. And I'm so glad to say that I'm not living in the mindset that I had been in before in my career early on, when I truthfully, you know, felt pressure to perform, to shoot a big deer or big elk or whatever, like we all did at some point in time. I have to say that there's a lot of pressure that goes with that. And, but several years ago, I started to, I began to realize how blessed I am to do what I do for a living. And I began to look at my career at Realtree and working for Bill Jordan as an incredible opportunity and a blessing. And I just began to feel no pressure to impress anyone or to try to put another deer on the wall or another elk on the wall. And what happened is my focus, and I'm getting back to his question, but my focus began to change from results oriented mindset to really enjoying the camaraderie, the memories, the fellowship. And for the last several years, when I go into a hunting camp, regardless of what we're hunting, I enjoy literally the conversations, meeting new friends, reconnecting with old friends, enjoying the fellowship, and just kind of taking it all in and being completely content, genuinely content with just a nice representative of the species we're hunting. No longer do I go in with the goal and mission of shooting the biggest deer on a piece of property. That's not where my head's at anymore. And that's a great feeling to be there, because it makes you focus on what's important, and it's friendships and family. So now the hunting for me can be slow. You know what? I don't get worked up about it. Matter of fact, if the weather is really tough, the elements are really tough or inclement or something like that, you know, I don't feel like I've got to go out there and endure that and expose myself to that for hours and hours on end. If I go out there for a little bit and I just get tired of it, and I go, you know what, I'm just going to wait for the weather to get a little better, not only do I do that, but I'm completely comfortable with that. So I just enjoy the experience. And my suggestion to anyone is just step back and enjoy what we do out in the outdoors, in nature. It's being out there. There's no better place to be. It's amazing. But when you meet people across the country, and you and I have some dear friends in Ekalaka, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
That are just amazing people. And they become like family to both of us, I know. And it's just, I love going out there and hunting with them. And it's friendships like that that you cherish and treasure more than ever.
I agree 100%. The older I get, the more that becomes true. I used to be, you know, hard charging when I was younger. I didn't need to be hunting with anybody. I just needed to be chasing, you know, whatever I could do. But as I get older, I'm like, well, what's, you know, that doesn't appeal to me at all anymore. Now it's all about the people that I hunt with. Christian and I hunt together. And of course, you know, with, you know, Rich and Sue up in Ekalaka, that's been one of our favorites, you know, getting to know that. And I know that, you know, you've gotten to know, you've had more opportunity than I have to meet just so many great people. But that's one of the things I always look at is, you know, usually, not always, but usually the people that you meet and, you know, through this industry are just some really good people, you know, and just good people to know, good people to hang out with. And like you said, you can just build relationships and memories. And that to me is the best, you know, so.
Yes, I agree. 100% agree with that.
Well, I have to say, man, I didn't know you were going to do the Rich and Sue segment now, but I have to tell Bill that even though he's never hunted with us in Ekalaka, Bill, you have had a profound and positive impact on all of our visits to J&J Guide Service, because I'm going to make a revelation now to the whole hunting industry. I don't know if they realize this, but David Blanton actually has a dessert named after him. It may be the greatest deer and elk camp dessert in North America. It's served exclusively at J&J Guide Service in Ekalaka, Montana. It's called the Blanton Surprise, and it is fantastic, David. Why? I'm going to let you tell everybody about why this is such an amazing dessert.
Well, Rich and Sue are awesome, and they're just amazing people. And if you know their story now, you know, Rich is battling. He's really battling right now, but they're just awesome people. He's got some health issues, concerns, but we're just keep them in our prayers. But they're just amazing people. And the first time we were there, Sue, as you know, can put the food on the table like nobody else. And
truth.
Second night we were there, and this is our very first time there, they come out with this frozen. Gosh, it's a frozen concoction, like ice cream and cookie crumbs and frozen whipped cream in it. It's unbelievable. And it was amazing. And I just ran in and raved over that so much that Sue finally decided, you know what, David, you love that dessert so much. I'm going to name this after you. And she started calling it Blanton Drizzle. It stuck. And I'm telling you, like the following year, Michael Waddell went with me out there. And of course, you know, now Michael's all jealous because he doesn't have his own dessert at J&J like I do. I'm fiercely protective of that, Christian, to be honest.
Well, we get it every time we're there, but I mean, it's all in your honor. I mean, you can only imagine the hundreds and hundreds of hunters who have come and gone out of there. And you know, have learned about David Blanton and his love of that dessert. But, you know, you've also had, in addition to some pretty awesome desserts, some pretty awesome elk and deer hunts out there in Montana with Rich.
Yeah, I love that place. And turkey, my goodness. I think I went out there on a deer hunt, but by the time I got done looking at all the turkeys out there, I asked Rich that day. I said, "Rich, y'all hunt these turkeys much?" And they hunted them some, but they didn't bring in a lot of turkey hunters back then. I'll be honest with you. And he said, "No, we do a little bit of turkey hunting, but we don't do a lot." And I said, "Well, you book us next year." And we went in there, and of course, it was unbelievable. And now, their turkey business just took off, because when you take people like Michael Waddell out there turkey hunting, and he's airing, you know, bone collector shows out there turkey hunting, it doesn't take long for them to fill up. I can tell you that.
And that was a good show too. Just you could just see how Rich and those guys hit it off. That was a good show.
That was a great show. Every time you go out there and hunt with them, but you know, we're so blessed because there's outfitters all over the country that I've become so close to, like Rich and Sue, and they're like family. They literally like family. We hunt, and every year, the first week of September, we've bow hunted whitetails in the northeast corner of Wyoming with 7J Outfitters, yeah. Jeff Smith. And I think we've been going out there 28 straight years. We have watched their children grow up and have children. And they're just like family now. But there's people all over the country like that. And what a incredible blessing that is.
Absolutely. A quick story about the 7J. So I don't know if you knew this about the name of their organization, but their outfit. But I'm looking at out of my office window at a mountain range that's called the Seven Mountains. And growing up, he had a cabin there. And that's where the seven comes from.
I'll be.
Yep.
No kidding. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's.
Wow.
David, you know, you just mentioned them, or John did. And gosh, people kind of forget this. I don't know why we do, or we shouldn't, but like, think about Michael Waddell, right? I mean, heck, David Blanton, I believe, was the guy that got that guy his start. And you let him just go out there and get behind the camera and just capture footage for you guys. And that's how it all got started, right?
Well, Bill Jordan really deserves the credit for getting Michael started. I was just put in charge of contacting Michael. Bill actually asked me one day to get in touch with Michael, because Michael was a high school senior who had won some turkey calling contests. And we had some bunch of outdoor riders coming in one spring to hunt with us. And we needed some guys to come in and help guide some of these riders. And Bill said, "David, there's a kid over in Manchester, Georgia," which is just 20-30 miles from Columbus. And he said, "Well, Michael Waddell," Bill got his number, and he said, "Give him a call and see if he'd be interested in coming in and helping us guide some of these riders." So I talked to Michael, and he was like, yeah, I'll come over there. And so Michael came over, and that was his start with us. And we just paid him for his, you know, a couple of days of working. And everybody loved Michael. We just really enjoyed being around him. And about that time, you know, our video TV efforts were growing, and we were needing more cameramen. And we approached Michael about coming to work for us as a cameraman and teaching him how to edit. So Michael came on board, and he became a cameraman and an editor. And of course, after you're around Michael, you just realize way back then that this kid has some charisma in front of the camera. He's a really good hunter. this is something that needs to be captured through the lens of a camera. And so after 4 or 5 years, and Bill actually made the comment one day, he said, David, I need you and Michael to start hunting a little bit more in front of the camera and not behind the camera so much, because we need more footage. And I want you guys to go out and start hunting a little bit more in front of the camera. And of course, that was amazing for Bill Jordan to have us, the trust in us that he had to do that. And so we did. And you could just see in Michael that here's a very unique personality. And I'll never forget when we created that Road Trips show for Michael to be the host of. And at the time when it debuted on Outdoor Channel, the industry had never seen anything like it, a format like that. Our first tagline for that show was a different kind of hunting show. And it truly was so different because it was behind the scenes. And it was just, Michael was the perfect host. And of course, the rest is history. Michael just went on, and Road Trips became the most popular hunting show by far of anything in the industry. And then Michael made the decision to leave Realtree, but he hasn't left Realtree, but he no longer works for Realtree full time, but he's one of our number one, if not number one, brand ambassador, because obviously Realtree sponsors Bone Collector, and Michael does a great job for us. But it's just been an amazing partnership with Michael.
Yeah, and that, like you said, Realtree Road Trips, that's arguably like the greatest hunting show in history, at least in terms of the notoriety and the buzz. And that was probably like, man, as big as it ever got, John. Like whatever was bigger than that, and he really paved the way, you know, for a lot of other people then that came along. And of course, you know, David's living large now because Michael sends David and Bill, I think, a big check every month as his royalty for helping him get his start. So congratulations on that, David.
But Michael, you know, it's funny. I was telling somebody just the other day, they were bringing up the Road Trips the first year it came out, what a huge success it was. And I said, yeah, I remember that. But I also remember the following year, there were 3 or 4 other shows that changed their format to be more like Michael. Cool. The host of the particular shows tried to change to be more like Michael, and yep, they changed the format of their existing shows to be more like Road Trips. And they just completely bombed because you can't just make yourself be another Michael Waddell. You can't just force that. And so it was amazing. It was a great time to be producing hunting shows, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't want to pick on any particular people, but when you see somebody trying to force it, it's actually kind of funny.
And that was kind of my take that following year. It's like, wow. Because they had a good, you know, some of these hosts, they were good hunters and they had a good solid show, but they wanted to be more like Michael because everybody in the industry knew the buzz that Michael was getting through Road Trips. And it was something else, but we're proud that Michael is still a very valuable member of Realtree and is one of our leading brand ambassadors to this day. And I think Michael's probably been wearing Realtree now for 30 years, I bet.
Yeah, I would say it probably has been. And you know, that's a good opportunity for my next question, David, which is this. You guys were at the very ground floor of outdoor television, you know, even before that with VHS and DVD and then all the TV stuff. And of course, Michael and you know, Nick and T-Bone, we just had on recently, they're still doing their thing. But you're almost like into the third generation now, because now you've got all these, younger folks, because even Michael, like Michael and I are probably similar in age. We're not young anymore, you know, and sad to say, I wish I was, you know, but now there's a bunch of younger folks wanting to get their piece of the pie, but it's all different. They're not going to have TV shows like we did back in the day, but they're going to be doing it, like you said, on YouTube or on, you know, TikTok or whatever. Where's the future going, David? As somebody who's had a front row seat for hunting media for over three decades, what does the future look like to David Blanton?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know what the future looks like. I can speculate and I think about it a lot, but I honestly do not know. I'm not sure how long traditional television is going to be around the way we know it today. More specifically, you know, the Sportsman's Channel, the Outdoor Channel, the Pursuit Network, all that. I don't know. But I do know that more and more people are going to the internet, the YouTube. But here's the thing, like you just said, there's so many younger people coming on the scene. There are hosts out there now that would be that, you know, that third generation, that if they had come along, there are some people that I know in the industry now that are good, solid TV hosts. But I look at them and I go, wow, if they had come along back in the day when like Michael came along, they would have gained so much more traction so much quicker than they can now, because there's so many people competing for the eyeballs or the traction or the popularity. There's so many new shows popping up on YouTube, and a lot of them are very, very good. And some of these guys are really, really good in front of the camera. They're entertaining. They're good hunters. But unfortunately, there's so many people vying for that limelight that it's hard for them to move the needle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very difficult for somebody now to move the needle like that. You have to come up with something that is really, really different, like way different. And there's some really creative people in this world, and they're coming up with, you know, creative ways, like creative agendas or motives or through a TV show. And those are the ones that are going to separate themselves. I'm just thankful that when I came on the scene in 1990, there were very few, if any, TV shows that I had the luxury of kind of being grandfathered in, along with Bill and Jackie Bushman and the Juries and Cus Strickland and those guys, Will Primos, to name just a few. We kind of got grandfathered in. And I'm thankful for that.
I think that, you know, David, I don't know if there'll ever be another era like we had then where, you know, you said, you know, create something really different. Even if somebody creates something really different in today's world, I think the attention span's about 30 seconds and then it's on to something else. So I don't know if we're ever going to see like a, you know, a 10, 20 year dynasty in any kind of a, you know, media outlet. So I don't know that that's even possible anymore.
I agree with you. I really agree with you. But I don't know that I do not know the where we're headed. I don't think anybody knows where we're headed.
No, it's far. You know, David, it's so true. Nobody does. And the thing that I say a lot, and, you know, the average hunter or hunting consumer doesn't really need to care about this, but you and I know from being on the inside of the industry, do you think it was easier being a marketing manager in 1990 or 2024? Let me tell you, 1990, you had print, you had TV was just on the horizon, and there was no internet and social media. You knew exactly where to spend your marketing dollars. There weren't that many options. In 2024, good luck aggregating a few hundred thousand people. If I said, David, here's your budget, go get me, you know, X number of eyeballs. You know how many pieces you're going to have to cut that pie into to get it?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. 100% for sure. 1990.
So, David,
I have a question that you might actually be able to answer, and that's, you know, you might not know the future of, you know, where hunting and the media is going, but how about the future for David Blanton?
You know, that's a topic I think about a lot now. I love what I do. Let me just take just a quick moment. People will never understand or comprehend how much affection I have, appreciation I have for Bill Jordan. Being able to work for that man for 34 years has just been incredible. I love my job. I am so blessed. I have the greatest job in the world, in my opinion. I say to myself, wow, you know, I'm getting to the point where I probably could retire in a couple of years. But honestly, when I ask myself that, you know, okay, if I retire from the greatest job in the world, that is the most fun in the world, what am I going to do for fun? I see myself, hopefully, Bill and Realtree can see where I could provide something to Realtree and stay on board in some capacity when I retire in a year or two, and, you know, maybe hosting a still doing some hunts here and there and going to some events to fly the flag, the Realtree flag. But, you know, I'm a Realtree man. I will always be a Realtree. I will always be Realtree for the rest of my life. Whether I'm working full time or not, I will always be a Realtree man. And I don't know that I'm ever going to completely retire, John. You know what I'm saying? Because I just love what I do so much.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to me.
I really do. I love what I do.
And that's
John, John, you'd like to retire and go work with David.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm one of those people that says I'll probably never retire because I don't want to. I don't do well being idle. So,
no, me either. I did retire, and I would have to find something to do in the TV, hunting TV or hunting platform business, because I'd want to be out doing something.
I've thought about. You know, even in these jobs, David, you know, you still have some days where it's frustrating or you get annoyed. I've thought about doing other things over the years, and I never pulled the trigger because I always come back to the same thing. I don't actually want to work for a living. You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, now it's amazing to me that I've been able to make a living, a career in a job that has just been the most fun thing I can even imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, John, that hour went by pretty darn fast, didn't it?
It went by too fast, too fast.
We could do 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, but
I know it sure has been an honor and a privilege to be on with you guys today. I've really enjoyed going back, taking a stroll down memory lane. You know, that to me is really special and really fun.
And I love hearing it. So
David, you actually gave me an idea for another episode, and I don't know, maybe we can get you back, or we need to put a panel together, John. You know, when David was talking about a lot of these folks that came up, you know, and he was rattling them off, you know, he talked to, obviously you got Bill Jordan, he mentioned Will Primos, you've got Michael Waddell, so many names, so many memorable characters, so many great bow hunters.
Yes.
I was like, we need to do a whole episode just debating the Mount Rushmore of like the outdoors. And if we could only have four or five faces on that mountain, who would it be? And see, John and I are good for hosting that show, because we know there's zero chance that my face or John's face, you know, David might not make the panel because he could actually be in contention to be up there.
No,
you know, those folks.
I don't think I would be on that mountain, but I would certainly have my nominees. I know that. I really do.
Well, it sounds like he's up for it, man. Maybe we got to do John, I'm serious. Let's get like a six person panel and do a whole podcast where we just nominate and you either make the cut or you don't. And we keep whittling it down until we get down to our Mount Rushmore.
Well, you said four faces up there. You might as well just say three, because Fred Bear's there no matter what, who's going to be asked.
Well, now, if you're including TV, if you're including,
we could do it. Yeah, yeah, David's right. We could do a Mount Rushmore of outdoor TV, a Mount Rushmore of bow hunters, a Mount Rushmore of X, Y, and Z. Now, that would make it interesting. And then what we'd have to do, okay, this thing's taken on a life of its own in my mind. Guys, hear me out real quick. It's like a shoot down. So yeah, we get these Mount Rushmores from all these different categories. And then those winners who are on the Mount Rushmores of their areas, then you have to compete to be like the Mount Rushmore of all hunting. That would be like, wow.
Okay, so I'll leave y'all with this. I had a thing one time where, and I'm just gonna throw this out there. So don't ask me for any elaboration on it, okay? But walking into consumer shows where our customers are in the show and there are personalities there, over the years, I have noticed in the height of their popularity, who garnered the longest line, the longest, quickest lines to form for an autograph or a picture. I Yep. know those four or five people over the years at the height of their popularity. I know who those people are. They could walk into a consumer show, and quicker than anybody else, there would be a line form, a long line to get an autograph or a picture. And you mean to name you my top four of all time?
Yeah, why not, man? You've teased it.
Okay, so number one, Michael Waddell.
Yep, absolutely. For sure.
Number two is and this is back in her prime now. Everybody's in their prime, right? Not current day, but right. In their
prime. You got it.
Tiffany Lukoski.
100%. Though there was, I mean, how many drooling men would wait for hours for that picture?
So back in the day, you had Michael at their respective prime.
Yep.
There was Michael Waddell, Tiffany Lukoski, Jim Shockey.
Yep.
And also, believe it or not, Ted Nugent.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
In a consumer show.
Yeah. So David, you know, you brought up lines, and I swear this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and I've even teased Lee about it. But one time they did a thing where instead of having one line for both of them, they had a split line. And the line for Lee was like maybe, you know, 20 people deep. The line for Tiffany went out the door around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen. Look, Lee's a great guy. And Lee's everybody knows Lee's a great hunter, manager of land, growing big deer. But I'm just talking about strictly appeal. Of people wanting a picture and autograph. You would have. And I tell you another guy who was, well, back in the day, believe it or not, I mean, you're not believe it or not, Bill Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
And Jackie Bushman.
Yeah.
If you go back, because they're two pioneers in outdoor television.
Yeah.
So I've seen lines form for Bill Jordan or Jackie Bushman that back in the day were incredible.
Yeah, back in the day, there weren't a whole lot of other lines to form around.
Telling you. So anyway, that's a great conversation to have.
Yeah. And if we were going to do a Mount Rushmore of camouflage, it would be Bill Jordan and Toxie Hayes. And I don't know if there's anyone else on the mountain. I mean, you could put Jim Crumley there.
Jim Crumley would have to be on there because he was kind of the original designer camo.
Yep. But I don't know if there's a fourth face to go with that. You know, I don't know. Anyway, point is, John, we could do a whole series on the Mount Rushmores. Yeah. But we got to come up with a different name for the outdoors. It's the Mount something. You know, we got to come up with a better name. Anyways, David, you can see my brain gets down rabbit trails really easy. So thank you for your time and for keeping me from getting too far afield here during our time together.
No, well, thank you guys. I really enjoyed it. I hope y'all have a wonderful rest of the weekend and a fantastic turkey season.
You too. And stay in touch, David.
I sure will. Thank you, John. Thank you, Christian.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, we'll see everybody next time on the Bow Hunter Podcast.
Thanks for downloading the Bow Hunter Podcast. All bow hunting, all the time. Pick up the latest issue of Bowhunter Magazine on your local newsstand or connect with us online at bowhunter.com.